It is time again for the Warren County Radio Bible School, and if you have your Bible handy, you'll want to turn to Mark chapter 1. We are studying an extended lesson on the life of Christ, and this is where Jesus makes a missionary tour in the region of Galilee, in Mark chapter 1. These Sunday school lesson we're studying for this are taken from notes that were written by E.A. Elam for the Sunday schools of September the 21st, 1924. And so we're going to be looking at these explanatory notes on that text in just a few moments. Mark chapter 1 and verse 35. While you are turning there, I'll remind you that the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. Now we begin in these explanatory notes with a section called Jesus Must Pray. You know, just my thoughts on this. If Jesus needed to pray, certainly we need to pray. And Jesus is a great example for us about the importance of prayer. It says in Mark chapter 1 in verse 35, "And in the morning, a great while before the day, he rose up and went out and departed into a desert place, and there prayed." After the events mentioned in the previous part of this chapter, and the work and fatigue of a busy Sabbath, Jesus rose early the next morning, a great while before the day, and went into a desert place to pray. He sought the solitude of this place and the quietude of this early hour, while all the city was wrapped in slumber, to commune with his Father. Jesus was a prayerful Savior. He frequently withdrew from even his disciples to pray. Sometimes he spent a whole night in prayer. We read in Luke chapter 6 and in verse 12 that it came to pass in these days that he went out into the mountains to pray, and he continued all night in prayer. It would have been wonderful, wouldn't it, to have heard Jesus pray or to have observed him in prayer. His disciples were impressed with his prayer and the way that he prayed, his prayer life, as we might call it. In Luke chapter 11, verse 1, it says, "And it came to pass, as he was praying in a certain place, that when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray." And so Jesus would teach his disciples how to pray. It'd be good, wouldn't it, to find a man that knows how to pray and is a constant in prayer, and to get him to teach us to pray. And of course, he'd need to teach us to pray the way the Bible teaches us to pray. And we can learn to pray by studying Bible prayers. We read in Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 7, in talking about Christ in the days of his flesh, it says, "Who in the days of his flesh, having offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and having been heard for his godly fear." And so Jesus was heard in prayer as he prayed to his Father in heaven. And we're promised that God will hear us as well. It is necessary to pray in order to gain wisdom for our work and strength to resist temptation. And certainly that was part of Jesus' desires too, being made like unto us and bearing the kind of infirmities of the flesh that we bear. And so he would pray in order that he might accomplish all that he did. It says that many today yield readily to temptation and accomplish so little, because they pray but little or not at all. And it is hard to show such people the necessity and the blessings of prayer. They are too blind and too weak to realize their need and to appreciate the privilege of carrying everything to God in prayer. In Mark chapter 1, verses 36 and 37, we read, "And Simon and they that were with him followed after him, and they found him, and said unto him, All are seeking thee." Well, Jesus informed them he must preach to others. Well, Simon and the other disciples followed him, and when they found him after search, they informed him that all men sought him. All had heard of the wonderful events of the previous day. The disciples seemed pleased with the popularity of their master and thought he would continue to teach and to heal the people there. But in Mark 1:38 and 39, we read that he said unto them, "Let us go elsewhere into the next towns, that I may preach there also. For to this end came I forth." And he went into their synagogues throughout all Galilee, preaching and casting out demons. Jesus informed them that he must preach to others as well. And this is when he inaugurated his first preaching tour through Galilee. He went into their synagogues throughout all Galilee, preaching and casting out demons. We are told that there were 240 towns and villages in Galilee. Matthew 4, verses 23 through 25 says, "And Jesus went about in all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of disease and all manner of sicknesses among the people. And the report of him went forth into all Syria, and they brought unto him all that were sick, holden with divers diseases and torments, possessed with demons and epileptic and palsied, and he healed them. And there followed him great multitudes from Galilee and Decapolis and Jerusalem and Judea and from beyond the Jordan." These people were attracted to Jesus by the many wonderful works that he did. The text mentions Decapolis. Well, that was a district of 10 cities. Deca meaning 10 and polis meaning cities. The 10 cities of an undefined area east and southeast of the Sea of Galilee. And though it was an area populated primarily by Gentiles in Galilee. Now we read in Mark chapter 1 and verse 40, "That there cometh unto him a leper, beseeching him, and kneeling down to him, and saying unto him, If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." Well, among those healed was a leper. He went to Jesus, beseeching him and saying to him, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. He recognized the ability of Jesus to heal him, and hence his being healed depended only on the willingness of Jesus to do so. Now, leprosy is a loathsome and terrible disease. It begins with sores on the skin. We read about leprosy in the book of Leviticus, chapter 13, and verses 9, 10, and 11. It says, "When the plague of leprosy is in a man, then he shall be brought unto the priest, and the priest shall look, and behold, if there be a white rising in the skin, and it have turned the hair white, and there be a quick raw flesh in the rising, it is an old leprosy in the skin of his flesh, and the priest shall pronounce him unclean. He shall not shut him up, for he is unclean." This sore can spread and become more worrisome. It eats away on the body until one by one different parts are consumed. Nose, lips, palate, etc. Sometimes the nails decay and fall off, and joint after joint of the fingers and toes are eaten off. It is a terrible affliction. It is called an incurable disease, a living death. But Jesus could heal the leper. The disease renders the one afflicted by it unclean, not because it was so contagious, but ceremonially unclean, as touching a dead body or having an issue of blood. Naaman was a leper, and yet he was the general of the Syrian army. And it says in Leviticus 13, verses 45 and 46, "The leper in whom the plague is, his clothes shall be rent, and the hair of his head shall go loose, and he shall cover his upper lip, and shall cry, unclean, unclean, all the days wherein the plague is in him he shall be unclean. He is unclean, and he shall dwell alone, without the camp shall his dwelling be." We read more about leprosy in that book of Leviticus, and if you care to read it, you can read about it in Leviticus chapters 13 and 14. If leprosy is a type of sin, then that means that sin is an awful disease. One is healed of the leprosy of sin when by faith he obeys Jesus the Christ, the Son of the living God. Do not discount the importance of obedience when it comes to spiritual cleansing. In Hebrews chapter 5, beginning in verse 5, we read that Christ also glorified not himself to be made a high priest, but that he spake unto him, "Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee," as he said also in another place, "Thou art a priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek." And then it says this, beginning in Hebrews 5 in verse 7, "Who in the days of his flesh, having offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and having been heard for his godly fear, though he was a son, yet learned obedience by the things which he suffered, and having been made perfect, he became unto all that obey him the author of eternal salvation." Obedience is so important that Jesus learned, not that he did not realize or did not know, being God, he knew all things, but he experienced for us what it means to be obedient. And he wants us to be obedient because, as we read in Hebrews 5 and verse 9, that he became to all them that obey him the author of eternal salvation. We need to think on the importance and the necessity of obedience. When we read verses like Mark chapter 16, 15 and 16, and do not discount this, it says in Mark chapter 16, 15 and 16, "He said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to the whole creation. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that disbelieveth shall be condemned." Don't listen to those who tell you that you do not have to obey. Think in terms of the importance of obedience when you read passages like Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, where Peter said unto them, "Repent ye, and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus unto the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Don't read that passage and think that somehow you don't have to obey. Let me give you one more. Galatians chapter 3, 26 and 27. "You're all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many as you as we're baptized into Jesus Christ, did put on Christ.